My name's Jesse.
And I'm Tessa, and we are...
Got a Ghost.
Okay. If you give a good performance, is it like you were possessed?
Yeah, sure. I think that's definitely apt. I mean, there's a kind of different levels of awareness when you're on stage. Being on stage is a really strange roller coaster where your emotional experience plays into how the audience experiences the show and vice versa. So when someone's excited, it can lift you up. When someone's bummed out, it can also lift you up in a weird way. I developed a weird tick of watching the people in the room who weren't enjoying themselves. Not like in a way of being like, oh, I make got in Almost Famous. He's like, I make the most bored guy in the room get off, and that's my job. Like, it's more like actually, I like to watch the bored person and just be amused by
but
that.
But can you track either of you where that, who first said that expression? That performing was like catching a ghost?
My earliest experience with the phrase catching a ghost had to do with a Baptist church, actually. I was baptized when I was 13. I used to live right down the street in Santa Monica for a Baptist church, and every Sunday I would pass it, and there was a woman that would wear purple, and she would always catch the Holy Spirit, and it would begin in her fingers. And once I was caught watching inside this church, and they asked me if I wanted to come in. I came in. Eventually, I wanted to sing in the choir. You had to be baptized, so I just said, baptize me. I hadn't been baptized, but that was my earliest experience with ghost catching.
You play all instruments, right? So tell me where this all kind of came together. Did you write the songs, play all instruments, and say, okay, now I've got to make this into a band?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have the proverbial sort of tortilla to put all the elements together.
She's rolling
until,
with her.
Well,
nice.
We're from Los Angeles. Mexican
Thank
food
Thank you
is,
for my analogy
we,
factor.
We speak in Mexican food, but yeah, Jess, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I think
you lost an analogy
yes,
there.
I agree. Well, no, the thing is that you got to make sure that the grill is hot. That's really the first. It was an evolution. It
started, would you like the wheat or
yeah.
the?
It started in the studio, certainly. Like it was a kind of a. I always referred to it as an exorcism because I think I was in one band that had kind of fallen apart, typical music industry, sob story, you know, it was like a label and band relationship just exploded. And so I was just stuck after working on one project for 6 years. I was just like sitting in this basement studio in a house that was previously inhabited by Danger Mouse, where he had made the Grey album and the Gnarls Barkley stuff and then become successful and moved away. But he had built this home studio and we were sitting there and the house was possessed. From what I was told, the guys who lived there before had moved in and immediately gotten hired to be Ben Harper's band. And then before Danger Mouse, I think before that somebody else had moved in and become successful. So there was this sense, there was this purple mojo couch in the basement that everyone referred to as the mojo couch. There was this sense that the house had a spirit in it, and so I just like sat with that for a minute and just started making music, and everybody, Tessa and Steven and all the people around me, were like, dude, this is really, you're on to something here, and let's do this. And so we tracked down the horn players and started playing.
Okay, the on to something. Did you want to add to that?
Well, he just neglected to mention that the house also had, it was like this really funny 70s house, but it also had cobalt blue carpets. And when they moved in, Stephen and Jesse, they also started spray painting and painting everything gold.
Let's get rid of genres. Let's just go away, okay?
Well, a friend of mine who worked in the music business told me a long time ago when I was kind of starting to get into things, said that you have to present yourself one way because people's consciousness can only handle one image. They can only handle one thing at a time. And so nuance is very difficult for people to understand from a marketing perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And so I understand the impulse to pigeonhole things. I understand why it happens. You know, you only have so many words with which to describe something and so much noise to cut through. So I don't blame people when they say, hey, this is what this is. Frankly, we get compared to Fits in the Tantrums a fair amount, which I think on certain levels is fair, and in other ways is completely not apt, you know. I think so. Yeah. But it's funny, actually. Lisa, their manager, is a friend of mine, and I like their music very much, and they're really cool, and I'm happy for the success and stuff. We have a plan to not be always compared to Fits in the Tantrums. That's actually, or the Black Keys. That's the other one we get a lot, because I think his voice and I like share a little bit of timbral, similarity, and we probably listen to the same music, Dan Auerbach and I. So, music is. It's your influence is the reason I like the expression "catch a ghost" is that there are just spirits floating through this world constantly that we're all absorbing and are passing through our physical bodies at all times. And so when however you want to understand that, whatever that means to you, I mean, for me, that's what it feels like when I'm making music. I'm not consciously trying to channel or be influenced by anything. It's just I have listened to and absorbed so much music that whatever I feel wants to come through me at any moment is going to come.
Sink on Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, it's been, that's cool for us because Jesse's a big fan of the show. And so, I can't say that I am because I haven't seen it yet, but I know I will be. I'm a big fan of the idea of the show, but I like it. We're proud of it. And also what's been cool, the whole model of how music gets out there seems to be really shifting. And so syncs, allow us to reach audiences that are beyond us in a way, just because they're so far away. It is. It feels that way. I mean, we have people that come on our Facebook page and we'll say, we're playing a show in, Austin, and they say, come to Norway. And we're like, what are you doing in Norway? But they're watching some of the shows that we've had syncs on. So that's been really exciting for us. And then also, we make all of our own content, our visual content. I act for money, and Jesse really likes to shoot. And we've done videos where, hold the camera and you do something, and I'll hold the camera and you do something. So we're interested in how visuals accompany music and that relationship between the two. So that's been fun for us. So, we like having a sync in a Friskies commercial because we are cat enthusiasts, but it's certainly, a different kind of exciting to have it on a show that is as fantastic as Boardwalk Empire.
Every single track that I've heard so far, the opening riff on Human Nature.
I'm really into Songcraft. I really like just a really diligent student of the Beatles and Stones and Bob Dylan and all the people who, really shaped our understanding of what modern songwriting is and how it should flow. And you look at people like Nirvana, the reason there's a through line between Nirvana and Motown and the Beatles is that Nirvana was a huge John Lennon fan. And
Hooks, great songs, doesn't matter.
Exactly.
That's what it takes.
Just, where's the interest? Why does somebody want to continue to listen to the song? Because events keep happening that draw their attention.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. Hmm. And it's two of your songs is the bread. So it is two of your songs is the bread, and songs by others in between.